This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
You've got this new child in your dialogue. You've mentioned it before, but it's really matured. It's self-awareness. And I love the contrast of hearing you talk about self-awareness versus talking about hustling. I put to you that maybe the rise of this self-awareness dialogue might be not the death of hustling, but certainly downplaying it, because anybody can call themselves a hustler and get away with it. But if you're truly self-aware, you can tell if a guy's self-aware or not.
Look, everything's right up until that one point.
What?
Anybody can call themselves anything. Like, you can roll around and say you're self-aware too. I know people who tell me, because they know I like self-awareness, in my organization that are quite self-aware and they're fucking tone deaf. Again, it's actually a tremendous segue, the way you're setting up the question, to what I just said earlier. Call yourself an entrepreneur. Call yourself a hustler. Call yourself whatever you want. Please understand, not somebody that's charismatic and a great marketer like me, not somebody who's not, somebody who's better than me at it. You can say anything you want. The problem is, eventually that shit plays out.
So here's the separation. When you say hustling,
yeah.
I found that during the hustle era,
yeah.
People took on more and more and more stuff. I've got a clothing line, I've got this, da-da-da. Self-awareness has forced people, or is forcing the better people, to strip stuff out.
I agree. I think I've lived through this period as well. And you know, when I was a kid, being an entrepreneur meant you were a loser. And it's fun to see the head shakes of the people that aren't 25. When you said you were, and if you're 40 or above, and you heard the term entrepreneur back in the day, it meant that you had ideas. And mommy and daddy were probably paying for your lifestyle, or you just were a straight loser. It was bad. And I used to, it's funny, I even found some sort of paper where it was like, what do you do for an occupation? And I wrote businessman, right? Which is now entrepreneur. And it's so crazy for me, because when this all started happening with entrepreneurship, 6 years ago, whatever, when it started bubbling, I was like, and it's so crazy how hot it is right now to be an entrepreneur. Like, literally people think I'm, like, young people think I'm cool, right? Like it's so crazy. It's crazy. And when I look at it, I'm like, my God. And at the time, I'm like, this is happening. This is so weird. This is amazing. Like, my thing is now pop culture. This is great. And what I didn't realize was it was gonna trick a lot of people, both young and old, this is perfect for you. Do you remember when everybody, and by the way, I truly believe the last thing that looked like entrepreneur was hip hop artist.
Still.
When you think about the generation right before this, a lot of the kids that come up to me today that are like, I'm an entrepreneur, literally, if they were born 7 to 8 years earlier, would have tried to become a rapper. Straight up. I mean it. I see it every day. And so, it's just so interesting, because I do think so here's what's key about self-awareness that goes way beyond even hustler. I talk about commerce, I'm a salesman, I'm a businessman. But self-awareness is way better than becoming a good businessman. It means becoming a better person. It means having a happy life. Like, I'm so fascinated by, I hate when people hear advice from people that you don't need to make that much money to be happy, and completely, I don't even say it that often, because it's quick to be the same thing of how many followers I have. They're like, easy for you to say, So I don't say it. I try to find my friends that actually don't make a lot of money, and I've been telling them, like, you need to start telling people how happy you are. You make $57,000 a year, your work-life balance is perfect, you don't want shit, you're pumped, you're good. You're so damn happy. Meanwhile, I'll see them, old high school friends, random friends, people I've met in different places, but then I go into my business cocoon and I go have dinner with a buddy who's making $10 million a year, miserable fucker. And I'm like, this is so intense. You start looking at studies where they go into these places where it's the most remote parts of the world and they're the happiest. They don't have shit, and they're just happy. And fucking people are not happy. The reason, and this is, I'm very proud of about what I'm about to say. There's one reason I started talking about fake entrepreneurs and bullshit entrepreneurship and self-awareness. One, because there is more suicide and depression going on in entrepreneurship than anybody's talking about, and I feel responsible to take the baton and change the conversation if I'm capable. One. Even though I felt it for the last 3 or 4 years, I thought it would be kind of weird because I was gonna be like, I'm one but you're not, ha ha, right? So I didn't wanna go there. But when a couple of my friends killed themselves. And I know why. You know why? Because their business failed. And the market's telling everybody, everybody's gonna win. Got it? Then I'm like, I'm part of an ecosystem that's doing something wrong. And then when I started really looking, you know, that hit me, as you can imagine. And when I say friends, I mean solid acquaintance. I would say the level we're at. We're friends, you know, busy, we don't get, like that, you know? That hurts. And then, you know how life is funny. Then you, like, right off of that news, I go into 4 or 5 pitch meetings, pitching me startups, and I'm like, these kids aren't entrepreneurs. This is rich kid Charlie, who never had adversity in his life, and he's rich, and his dad got him all his connections, and he just wants to do it because everybody at Harvard's doing it, right? And it's actually more practical than getting a job. You raise money, you learn. If you lose, who gives a fuck? Like, and I'm like, shit's broken.
What is the Gary Vaynerchuk conversation, if it happens? What is that conversation like when it comes to macroeconomics? You mentioned it in the new book. What do you talk about? Do you talk about oil prices, the slowdown in China, terrorism, US politics, commodities in Africa? Like, is there some, you must have an opinion on all that stuff. Maybe if it doesn't make it to the show, but around the big guys you talk to, like, yeah. Give us a window on that.
In those worlds, I listen a lot. I have opinions on macroeconomics.
Can we get some?
No, because I don't like being in the opinion business very much, believe it or not. I really don't. And let me explain. I understand what's going, like I'm a citizen of the world. I'm sharp enough. You know, I pay attention, but boy, do I not feel like I have the audacity to spit my points of view on things that I am just not educated on. The reason, you know, it's funny when people go to me, they're like, Gary V, you're cocky. I'm like, okay. I'm like, respect. And I'm like, here's why I'm cocky. I only talk about shit I really fucking know. Like, when you only talk about wine and marketing and business and technology startups and the New York Jets and you really know it, you come with the audacity. Look, I know oil's collapsed. I know what happened in China in the first 60 days of their stock market. I understand what's going on with, I have thoughts on shit like everybody's teaching every kid right now how to be a developer because they think that that's a good way for them to make a living. But when every kid gets taught to be a developer, it commoditizes the skill, and all these kids that are being taught to be developers are gonna get paid $30,000 a year in 7 years because everybody can do it. So I've got thoughts, but I feel like I've got real strength, like top of class strength around human behavior and technology and selling and marketing. And so look, you can talk about a lot of things. And I've talked about two things in my life publicly, business and marketing and wine. And those are two things I really know. And look, we only have one at bat, and I don't wanna boil the ocean. And more importantly, I don't wanna dilute myself. You know, like, I know that if I keep talking about what I know, I'm gonna win. I really do. I know what my intent is around my brand and stuff like that, so I always feel good, and that's why I wanna have those conversations. I feel great about my, look, I've been right a lot more than people think. The truth is, I wasn't doing Daily V or Ask Gary V or producing content when I was on an island by myself on the East Coast talking about e-com in 1995, when everybody told me the internet was a fad. You know, I wasn't making some crazy video when I bought the word wine on Google AdWords telling you who to buy AdWords, right? Like, I wasn't doing that. So I know my narrative. You've caught it somewhere along the way. I know where it's going. And so I think it's in my vested interest. And more importantly, it's my responsibility to do the right thing by people that you guys have allocated your attention to me. Attention, the single biggest asset that you could give me. And so I don't wanna kind of randomly spit shit that's kind of a whim or a thought, and I don't have time to fucking learn the oil market.
Yeah. I feel you.
Well, thank you. I mean this because there's a lot of people that you guys respect and you retweet, I watch you, and when they talk, I listen, and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They're regurgitating shit they read.
I get it.
It's just real. The way I feel about these A minuses and B pluses, the way I feel about them, right? I don't want anybody to feel that about me in other categories. So I shut the fuck up.
Let's talk about being historically right.
It's important. It's really fucking important. Because a lot of you guys are spitting shit and the smartest in that world see it and you've lost before you even fucking started. Make sure you know what the fuck you're talking about. Do you think it's fun for me that everybody comments and shares stuff and the press picks up? Gary Vee says, nobody, you know, entrepreneurship is born, you can't do it. And then every comment, a person that never has heard of me before is like, fuck this guy, fuck this guy, fuck this guy. It's not fun. But I know I have the internal strength to eat it, and I have a responsibility to a space that's been very good to me, and that if I can help one kid just realize she's a number three or he's a number five, and they're successful and happy versus going to try to do something that they were not born to do, but because it's the cool thing to do right now, they go and do. If I can pull that off, one, for all the shit I've got to eat the next 24 months as I get bashed for going down this path, that feels good. I'll do that. And guys, that's real talk, right? Like, I can give you tactics and we can talk about crushing it and we can talk about like living the life. Like, if you don't let anybody else dictate your happiness, you will win. And that is why I won. I am at a place where my ambition is greater than all you fuck faces combined. At the same time, I swear, the level of being content would baffle you based on what I spit. And that is something that I would wish on all of you. You know? And so I wanna figure out new ways to elevate the conversation. Because, and by the way, one of the reasons I went into a cocoon and built another business, not on your backs, is because I wanted to have the platform to be able to say the shit I'm saying tonight. Right? That I'd have the actual credit to do that. Because I'm building businesses. I'm a real entrepreneur. I'm better than you guys think. You just haven't figured it out yet. I mean it. And you haven't figured it out yet because I haven't done it yet. That I'll make a prediction on. I'm gonna fucking win at a level that's gonna confuse people because I'm that good. Brilliant.